Amen. We are so thankful to be able to celebrate all that God is doing in our lives through our moms and just those influences there. And one of the things that I just want to acknowledge and just sort of put out in the room is that we understand that this day, while it is a celebration, we're thankful. We recognize that some people struggle on a day like today. For some people, today is a reminder of who's not there, right? For some people, today is a reminder of a relationship that maybe isn't what we would want to celebrate. And I just want to say, first of all, thank you for being here, even if this day doesn't come with all the warm fuzzies that a lot of people would like to have on this day, right? And let me say as well, like, if you're experiencing all the warm fuzzies, like, praise God for that. Like, we're not telling you not to be happy, like, and to enjoy your family and to be thankful for all that you have, right? This is why family is so important. This is why it's so great to be a part of the family of God, because you know what? We don't need you to put a face on and pretend like today's a good day if it's not, right? If today's a hard day, I mean, it's still a good day. Let me clarify that. The Lord is here. It's still a good day, but it might be a hard day. And if it's a hard day for you, you're allowed to have a hard day. And you're allowed to have a hard day in front of people who are beaming with light because this is an easy day for them, right? And what we're going to do as a church, and what I want to encourage you to do, even after service and as you are just interacting with different people, I just want to encourage you to just be with each other in whatever it is that you're feeling today, right? If you're struggling and you just really need a hug from somebody today, please, please don't hesitate to go get that hug from somebody today, right? And if you're here and today is like, man, like, I'm so excited, all my kids are here with me, like, y'all gotta meet up, like, please introduce your children to everybody in the whole building. I would love that, whether they like it or not. Like, I would love that. I think that would be great, right? Pinch their cheeks and all the business, right? It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. Be weird for your adult children, but it'd be great for everybody else. The point is, like we're family, right? And that's what we do. We come together as easy as it might be, as hard as it might be, right? We come together and we're gonna be together. And I'm just so thankful that you are together with us today. The reality is there may be some people who are watching this online today because being in the room might have been just a little harder than what they could handle today. And so I'm really thankful for those that are even just watching this that aren't in the room. And I want to encourage all of us to be praying for one another, right? Be praying prayers of thanksgiving for those that are living it up today, right? And that's great. But be praying prayers of intercession for those that struggle on a day like today as well, right? Anyway, I'm so thankful to be a part of this family. And I'm so thankful that you get to be a part of this as well. Even if this is your very first time here, if you're here, you're part of the family today, right? I remember when I would go over to when Beth and I had we had been dating for a little bit, and matter of fact, we were talking about this in our community group just last night, I think it was. I remember the first time that I went to Beth's granny's house in Kentucky, right? And we got there, and when I came, it was not at all difficult to notice that I was not, like, I wasn't born into this family, right? Like, I didn't know what they did, like, I didn't know how they did what they did, or what I'm, like, stumbling over, figuring this thing out as I go. I'm just trying not to embarrass myself in front of my girlfriend and her family, right? And, man, her granny just, she loved on me like I had been there the whole time, right? They make these, if you've never had these, like, they're these, they call them stack apple pies, right? They're like these little flat apple pies. Like, you can eat them. I better not go into it. Anyway, the point is, they're really super good. And this woman loaded me up on so much of those stack apple pies that I'm still tasting it. Like, it was that great. And, you know, when it was, the joke that we make is that, like, when it was time to eat, like Beth's granny, she always got her grandfather's plate for him, right? He just, when it was time to eat, he just went to the table, and she just got to play for him. And so when it was time to eat, like, I remember Best Granny saying to Beth, like, "Oh, honey, are you going to get his plate for him?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm in. Like, this is my family now, right? This is my family now." Right? I get, like, maybe this is your first time here and you don't know how this family works and everything, but you're in now. You're in. And however it is that you come into this place, like, I'm just so thankful you're here, and I just want to welcome you and just give you permission to just feel what you feel today. And whatever that is, like, I really believe God is going to meet you right in the middle of all that, right? And I'm really, really super thankful for that. Did we dismiss kids already? Okay, good. I missed it. I didn't. Give me just one second here. I got mine a little late today. I'm sorry. Let's do this. Let me pray. If you would, pray with me. God, I do thank you so much for your presence here among us right now. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity both to celebrate and to grieve and to struggle and to rejoice and all of those things, God. We thank you for the way that you are providing for us. And God, if you have provided for us through an awesome mom, like, we thank you for that, and we recognize, Lord, that your hand is in that. And Lord, if today is a day where we're reminded maybe of a relationship that isn't there, or maybe isn't as healthy as we would want it to be, Lord, we want to acknowledge as well that, Lord, you're in this right now as well. And Lord, we just say thank you for providing for us, whatever that looked like. And whatever it looks like now, whatever it will look like, we just thank you, God, that you are constant, that you are good, that you are loving, that you make a way. And God, we're just thankful to be in your presence today. Lord, as we move into this time of your word, I just ask, God, that you would help us to hear from you. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours today, God, that your message alone would be communicated and proclaimed and received and acted upon today, not only in this place, but even beyond. Lord, we thank you for the life-giving power that is made available to us, and I just ask, Father, that you would help me to be clear and effective in everything that you would want to communicate today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I tend to find that there are most people fit into one of two groups, and some people fit into both, right? One of those groups is I'm a failure, right? I have not succeeded in life. I'm not where I want to be. I don't feel good about myself. I don't look the way I want to look. I'm not around the people I want to be around. I'm not in the job that I want to have. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not, right? That's one group. The other group that I tend to see sometimes is I'm awesome. I am the best. Like, I am just the epitome of what everyone else should want to be, right? I'm crushing it in my career. I look amazing. I'll tell you about it if you ask me, right? Like, my social media is awesome. All of those things, right? And like I said, what's interesting is that where people tend to kind of fall on one end of the pole or the other, one extreme or the other, one of the things I'm also finding is that there's a whole lot of people that are actually in both worlds. Right? Like, they feel like a failure. They feel like they've missed the boat. They feel like they're not enough in whatever area of life you might want to mention there. Yet at the same time, they're also trying to say how awesome they are. And like, I'm just going to pick myself up by my own bootstraps because I'm awesome enough to do it, right? And they're portraying awesomeness. And everything all the time, all the while, also kind of feeling like, man, like I actually don't feel all that awesome as I might want other people to believe. Maybe that's something you can relate to today. Maybe one side, the other, or even both. What we see in Scripture is that it tells us that God is always enough, amen. Right? Again, I really hope you're part of a community group. If you're not, like, when I say this, I know it sounds sort of bad, like when I say, like, oh, you're missing out if you're not part of a community group. Like, it sounds like sort of arrogant, like, oh, like, if, but trust me, like, you're really missing out. Like, there are some amazing conversations that are happening here. This week we're talking about the story of Gideon, and just to see how God was enough for Gideon there. It's really awesome. If your community group's meeting later on today or early this week, like, you should be excited for that. It's gonna be really, really cool. But we just see that throughout Scripture, not even just in that particular story. He performs miracles. He's faithful to provide for people, even in what seem like the most unwinnable circumstances. Like, God comes through victoriously. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, like, how the Bible shows over and over again that God is always enough, right? So how do the truths about God actually impact, like, how we should see ourselves, right? Like, I think most of us would probably say, like, oh yeah, God's enough, like, we, you know, the Bible says so, like, I get it, he can do anything and all the stuff. But, like, what does that have to do with the fact that I either feel like a failure, or I feel like I'm awesome, or I feel like I'm both at the same time? Like, how do those things, like, all go together, and what am I supposed to do with that? Like, how should the Bible actually impact how I interpret success or failure in my life? How should the Bible actually define what enough really means, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to do that through the story of the rich young ruler. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I would love for you to turn to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 18 through 25. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 25. All right. Let me read this for you here. It says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, why do you call me good? Like, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, right? And this guy's like, oh yeah, all these I have kept since I was a boy, right? When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Just go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And it says that when he heard this, he actually became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth, right? Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's actually easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds like a story that doesn't have much good news in it. but what is interesting here is when you begin to kind of look into, kind of read between the lines a little bit on what it is that this rich young ruler was asking about, you begin to see some things that that are maybe a little more telling about this guy than we might catch in that first reading through. Like, for example, I wonder if what he was really trying to do was just prove that he was good enough, right? good enough to follow Jesus. And actually what was interesting was that when he went to Jesus, he didn't ask like, hey, Jesus, what do I have to do to follow you? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? See, in his mind, he had done all the commandments. He had followed what we understand as the Old Testament, right? But he had followed the Bible. He had done all the rules, right? And he had done it so well that he had like earned his way to eternal life in his mind. However, when Jesus told him to sell all that he had and give that to the poor and then follow him, what we found was that he didn't actually believe that Jesus was enough. Right? He thought that he was enough. Like, the rich young ruler thought that he himself was enough. He didn't, however, think that Jesus was enough. Right? Like, I think of the parable that Jesus taught of the man who found the great treasure out in a field, right? And when he found that great treasure, he actually dug a hole in the ground, buried the treasure, went to the owner of the field and was like, I gotta buy that field. Sold everything else that he had just so he could buy this crummy old field. And the reason he wanted the crummy old field was because he knew what was in the field. So he didn't mind at all selling off everything that he had because he knew what was coming his way, right? See, this rich young ruler was not sure that Jesus was enough. He was not sure that Jesus was the treasure buried in the field. He was not sure that he was really worth selling everything that he had in order to follow him. After all, he was only coming to get eternal life, after all. He wasn't coming to follow Jesus. This all begs the question, for me, do we really believe that Jesus is enough? Right? We've got our ducks in a row in some ways, right? Even if life is not exactly like what we want it to be, like, you know, there are some things that are, you know, where we want or where we feel comfortable with them, right? And so even if we might be questioning whether we are enough or not, maybe the main question we need to ask is do we really believe that Jesus is enough? Like, is he worth selling the farm for, right? Is he worth giving everything out that we know in order to receive that treasure in a field that doesn't look like much just at first glance? See, if we didn't have any other title other than Jesus follower, would that be enough for us? Yeah. Now think about that for a second, right? Because that's really what Jesus was saying to this guy, right? Like, it wasn't just a matter of what he did for God in terms of following all the rules, but brother was rich, right? Like, he had a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I mean, let's be honest, like, not everybody was rich, right? He was seeking after God, so we can assume that maybe he got rich, like, in a moral way. Like, maybe he didn't steal from people, like tax collectors and that kind of stuff. Maybe he was just really good at business, right? Maybe he just made some really good decisions. Maybe he even prayed about those decisions, right? Like, maybe he was just a really good leader, and maybe his employees got filthy rich as well. I'm not looking down on the guy because he had money, but the fact was he had a lot of money, right? Jesus never said, like, your money's terrible or that you got it in a bad way or anything like that. He just said, get rid of that and come follow me. And the guy was super sad about that, right? He had all kinds of titles. I mean, even just in the title of the story, rich, young, and ruler, right? Like, I think a lot of us would probably like to have at least two out of those three anyway, right? Maybe you don't really want to rule anybody because that has to do with people and, well, you know, people and stuff, right? Hey, trust me when I say I get it, all right? I love y'all, though. No, but seriously. He had a lot of titles, And what Jesus was asking him was to lay down all these titles in order to just take on the title of Jesus follower, right? If you didn't have any other titles other than Jesus follower, would that be enough for you? If you didn't have the title of husband or wife, if you didn't have the title of dad or mom, if you didn't have the title of son or daughter, would it still be enough just to be Jesus follower? Right? If you didn't have the title of wealthy or even employed, if you didn't have the title of veteran or attractive, if you didn't have the title of barista or nurse or business owner or teacher or pick any industry you might want to put in there, like, is it enough just to be Jesus follower? Right? If you didn't have the title of hard worker or even able-bodied, right? If you weren't part of a certain age group, or what, I mean, pick any of this. Like, if you didn't have any of those titles except for Jesus follower, would that be enough? Could you be content following Jesus if you didn't have all of the other titles and everything that went with it, right? I know I'm asking really hard questions, particularly on Mother's Day. Like, what in the world here, right? Let me kind of show this to you in maybe a different way. Because here's the idea. These roles that we have are areas that God has given us to steward, but they were never designed to actually be the place where we receive our value. Right? Like, I need you to hear that today. Like all of these titles that I just mentioned, these are all roles that in the larger kingdom of God, we were designed to actually use for God's glory and to further God's kingdom. But they were never designed to actually tell us who we are. They were never designed to tell us the value that we have. They cannot do that because those titles did not create us. Those titles do not empower us. Like, only God can do that. So if we recognize that maybe we've put more on those roles than what we should have, much like the rich young ruler did, maybe when we come to those points of decision, we'll realize that our value doesn't come from those roles, and thus also we do not lose our value when those roles go. See, because those roles are temporary. Those roles are maybe here one day and gone the next. But our value in God and our value in the kingdom of God, our value through what Jesus Christ has done for us, like, that doesn't change, even if our roles do change, right? I did not become more valuable to God when I became a father. I did have a new role in which I needed to steward well in order to advance the kingdom of God in my home. But my value was the same after I was a father. Amen. Than when I was before. When my children eventually move out of my house, Lord Jesus, make a way. No, I love you. I do. I'm just kidding a little bit. My value in Christ will not be less than when they are in my house. Right? Like, I still have that role to steward, but when that role graduates from high school or college, please, Lord, to something else, right? Then my value does not change. Who I am in Christ does not change. The mission that he wants to accomplish in me does not change. The kingdom of God and how that ought to impact my life does not change just because that role does. You see what I'm saying? Okay, let me get to this illustration here. So here's the idea. Imagine that my job is simply to move these boxes over to this table. That's my job. That's all I have to do, right? I can come out and get any box that I want. And all I have to do is carry it over to this other side here. Now, when I get here, I may happen to notice that, you know what, like there's all kinds of like different ways to pretty this up and everything, right? Like I can roll this all out and everything, and oh man, this could be amazing actually now that I think about it. This is what your Christmas gift is going to look like, by the way. Yeah, no, this is going to be awesome actually. It's going to be, oh, it didn't cut all the way. There we go. See, because like before, the box was, it was a little boring, I ain't going to lie, right? I mean, we all recognize that, I mean, just, it was just a green box. It could have been so much better. And so, you know, we get over here and, well, I'm actually going to fold this paper a little more just to make it a little neater, you know, because I don't want it to look sloppy. We get all this done, everything. Man, it's actually coming along pretty well. I feel pretty good about how it's coming. Your gifts are going to look better. Don't worry. It's going to be super awesome. We can get, yeah, that, I mean, it's better than it was before anyway, right? Like, I mean, it was kind of boring before and everything. I got, oh my goodness, ribbon stuff. Like, there's ways you can do this that are really awesome and amazing. I don't know any of those ways, okay? But, right, I mean, it's pretty close. Man, like, you would love to get that, right? And that was not what I was asked to do, though. Like, that was not my job. Like, that looks great. That was not my job. My job was to come over and get a box and take it over to this table, right? But man, like all these different papers, like seriously, like come on, like we could just for days here, like this is, you know what I mean? Like this is, the paper's too nice not to do something with it. I mean, it wouldn't be here if God didn't give it to us, right? Like he wanted us to do something like awesome and amazing with it, right? So I mean, it just, well, that doesn't really fit exactly, but so I'll just use an extra piece of tape. It'll be, we'll just put that right around there. That's great. See, it's going to work out in the end, right? And so you'll notice that the more I'm working on this, the less I'm going over there. You notice that? Now, here's the real kicker, and that is that not only am I taking note of the fact that I'm not over there actually doing my job, but I'm also noticing that, like, but that's actually super not good, right? And not even, let's be honest, not even really close to good. Because that did not quite work right. And so then I like this does not look anywhere close to as good as that. And so, like I see the ribbon, and I mean, there's even, like, different kinds. This ribbon, like, it's not even as big as that ribbon. Like, that wouldn't even, I hate this now, right? Because it's not even, like, I mean, that's not perfect, but it's a whole lot better than this, right? How in the world could I not just make some, look, I don't even have enough ribbon to do this. Like, ah! And the whole time, like, I'm not even going to the other table, right? I might even look just to see, like, oh, is there something else that maybe I could come over to that would do better? Might even come over just to be, let's get off, right? Just to maybe kind of touch base, like, oh, hey, boxes, awesome. Let me come back over here and work on this a little more because this is a hot mess, right? Like, and then this becomes how I define who I am. Because it's not as nice as that. And then I begin to think, like, why am I even here? Like, what's the point? Like, I was doing super awesome for so long. Now, like, look at me. I can't even get the ribbon to go all the way around. You see the box? Truth be told, I really don't even like that wrapping paper very much. Like, what is right with this? And so now, the very thing that I wasn't even supposed to be doing has become the thing that determines whether I am good, bad, or ugly. And so what Jesus was saying to the rich young ruler was, what I need you to do is to get rid of the box. I need you to just, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, that's not what I needed you, that's not how I needed you to value yourself. What I needed you to do was to come over and get a box and bring it over here. That's what Jesus was asking him to do. But the box is so nice. And let me be clear, like we read this story and it's like the rich young ruler, and so it's real easy to say, oh, the box just represents the money that I have and the property I have and the cars I have and the clothes I have and all that kind of stuff, when the reality is this is not just about the money that you have. This is about what is giving you value. And so when you look at you, what gives you value? Because what's designed to give you value is just to follow Jesus and to do what he tells you. And that sounds like crazy simple, and in some ways I guess kind of it is. But the simplicity is why it's such good news. Like, you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be flashy. You don't even have to be really good at it. Like, you just have to say yes to him. And here's where the problem is. Like we'll have our really nice box and everything like that, and then something will happen in our lives, and there are these tears that have this brokenness that happens in our lives, and all of a sudden we'll say, oh, like my box is broken and torn, and now what am I supposed to do? Because the box was never designed to define you. It was never designed to give you value. It was never designed to tell you how awesome you are. Because the reality is, none of us are good enough.
Amen.
None of us are going to measure up. Let me just let you off the hook for a second, all right? Like, you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be better than the next guy. You don't have to... Let me just put this in the air here just so that we're all clear on this too. You don't have to look like a better Christian than anybody else in the room right now.
Amen.
Right? You don't have to be farther up the ladder. You don't. All we have to do is what Jesus tells us to do. And it's not going to look flashy. And it's not going to have a bow on it. And sometimes it's going to be just really, really hard. It is. But when we let this define who we are, we're always going to feel like we're not enough. When the titles define who we are, we're always going to feel like we're not enough. And that's because they were never designed to give you value. Some of us, What makes this maybe even a little more difficult, let me say it that way, is that some of us have only been at this table for our whole lives. We didn't even know there was another table to go. Like, we didn't know what following Jesus even looked like. It didn't appeal to us or anything. I mean, just it's like not so great looking boxes on a table over there. Like, what is so appealing about that? Like, why would I ever want that, right? And so if you've never grown up like hearing anything about Jesus or hearing anything positive about Jesus, let me say that, like, I get, like, why in the world would I want to take what I've done, as messed up as it might be, why would I want to get rid of that when I'm not really all that sure about that over there either? Maybe that's just more brokenness. Maybe that's just more wounding. Maybe that's just more emptiness. Maybe that's not going to give me value either. Like, I get, like, when you're standing over here and you've never been there, it's like, why in the world would I let go of this when I don't even know if I'm really all that sure about that? And the reality is, there are some who, even when maybe there was a time where you were here at the table and you had the box here, and somebody else came over to you and said, "You're just not doing it right. You're never really going to be a really good Christian anyway, right? You really don't look like you should be here, right? We don't really have people like you here, right? Like you probably should dress different. You probably should talk different. Maybe this just isn't for you." And so you felt that wounding here. And so maybe as you're over here, and your box might not be perfect, but you felt the wounding there too. And so if I'm going to be wounded here, wounded there, I'd rather just stay here. Thank you very much. At least I've got bows and ribbons here, right? I just want to give you some good news today. And that is that you don't have to let what's torn and broken define your value. Like, I get, like, some of what's torn and broken is all wrapped up into the roles that you have and the things that you've done and your history and your story and all those things. Like, I get it's wrapped up into who you have been. But that's where the good news of Jesus comes in, right? Because what he says is, like, hey, even if this is your story, like, get rid of that too. If this is what you've got, like, I don't want to just tape up what's broken. What he wants to do is make you absolutely brand new. Amen. He doesn't want you just to be a better version of yourself. He wants you to be a brand new version of you. And that means that he's going to redefine your value. Not because you have all these other labels, not because you bring so much goodness to Jesus, not because you followed all the rules, and not because you have all this money, and not because of any of that, because your influence or all that kind of stuff. The only reason that we're able to receive this value of God is because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. We are not good. That is actually the biggest part that we need to understand when it comes to the good news of Jesus. We're not good. And we're never going to be good enough on our own. But I promise you right now, you don't have to live in that brokenness. You don't have to live in that emptiness. Because God is always enough. He's always enough. He's always able. Like, what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us means that no matter what we've done in the past to disqualify ourselves, like, the blood of the cross of Jesus paid for all of that. And we get to be set free from all of that. And we don't have to just carry it and try to be a better us. No, we get to be made brand new as a brand new us. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. Our culture will tell us that we are good enough. Our culture will tell us that if you just focus yourself enough, if you just try hard enough, if you just whatever enough, that you are good enough all by yourself. But before we can get to the great news of what Jesus can and will do in our lives, we have to admit the hard truth. And that is that we are not good enough. Here's what's so amazing about that. Most of us already feel like that anyway. So it's not that big of a step, right? It's just a matter of acknowledging, you know what? Like, I don't have to fight this. Like, I can just understand, you know what? I was never designed to be enough by myself. The reason why I'm not enough is because God didn't create me to be enough. He created me to be dependent upon Him, the relationship with Jesus, that I might be forgiven and healed and made whole. Like, I was never designed to be enough on my own with all the labels that I have. No, the only way that I get to be enough is as I submit to the enoughness of God. Right? It's the only way. You don't have to feel beat up by not being enough. What you get to feel is the love and the peace of God in your life, to know that He is always going to be enough for you, no matter what you've struggled with, no matter what you're struggling with right now. Maybe there was something yesterday or even this morning that you're like, oh man, I keep having this temptation, I keep falling into this sin, I keep, you know, talking down about myself, I keep seeing myself in a really negative light, whatever that might be, whatever it is. You don't have to live in that. The good news of Jesus is that He can make you brand new. So if you want to be brand new today, like, that's possible. Here's what it takes. The first thing is, we just got to admit the fact that, you know what? Like, I'm not enough. Like, I've messed up in my life. I've sinned against God and against other people, even for that matter. And I'm just not enough. And I need a Savior. I need someone else that is going to make me enough, that's going to be able to make me brand new. And I understand that the only way that I can be made brand new is through Jesus. Right? And then the Bible says that when you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God actually raised Him from the dead, it says that you will be saved. You'll be saved, not only from, like, eternal damnation and all that kind of stuff or whatever. You get saved from your brokenness. You get saved from all those things that are tearing you up. You get saved from not feeling enough. Because God is always enough for us. So I invite you to stand with me now, if you would. Maybe you recognize that God is really beginning to stir your heart. Maybe you've never actually been to this other table before, and you're not really sure, like, what this whole following Jesus thing is all about. You've never really heard anything about that before, but you're curious. Like, that's fine. If you're not really ready to say, like, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but you're curious, that's a beautiful place to be. And I'd love to be able to follow up with you about that and have a conversation with you about that. Maybe God is already speaking in your heart and saying, you know what, like, you've been letting this negative mentality of not being enough rule your life long enough. And now, if you don't mind, enough is enough, right? What if you just gave Jesus a try? I mean, the worst that can happen is you still don't feel like you're enough. That doesn't seem like much of a loss. Today, as we sing, if you'd like to come and actually kneel at an altar to pray, you can do that. If you want to pray even right where you are, that's awesome. Maybe there's somebody who is next to you there that you'd like to invite them just to pray with you. I want to encourage you to do that. Whatever it is that God is moving you toward right now, say yes to Him, and I promise you, He will be enough for you. Let's sing.